Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question, be it pro or con, favorable or unfavorable, about something that's said on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly at my email address, preacher@eastabbotville.org. That is my personal email address, preacher@eastabbotville.org. It's in the book of Acts in the 8th chapter that we find in verses 39, the conversion of a man from Ethiopia. He was a eunuch. He was a treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia. And when it comes to his conversion, as it is with almost all conversions, there are a lot of theories about conversion. But again, here's something that we need to appeal to the New Testament. We find that conversion is something that involves a turning. It's the idea of the word convert. So you're turning from and a turning to. And it really involves three changes. It involves a change of heart. It involves a change of action. And it involves a change of relationship. And conversion, we must understand, is produced by the Word of God. Romans 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So it is the gospel. James tells us in James 1 that we must receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. But what we see here concerning the eunuch of Acts chapter 8 is that he had an open book. Notice in verse 27, Philip arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, except someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture where he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch had an open book. The eunuch was religious, but he was wrong. He was lost. We find that in verse 27, that he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. So an open book is essential, and yet it must be the right book. So we know that God's word, is in Psalms 119 and verse 7, is a light under our feet and is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, completely or thoroughly equipped unto all good works. So how important it is, then, that we're told in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 to give diligence or to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of God. So we must have an open book, and that book must be God's word, God's inspired scriptures. but also the eunuch had an open mind. We find in verse 30, when Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, he said, excuse me, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? So we find that he asked Philip to come up and sit with him, and we're told in verses 32 and 33 the place where the scripture was that the eunuch was reading. And so it's in verse 34 that the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? So he had an open mind. He asked his question, but you know, many people have closed their eyes and their ears, and they've hardened their hearts, like what Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. But an open mind is absolutely essential to conversion. As James 1:21 teaches, that we're to receive the word with all readiness. And that's what we see that those of Berea in Acts 17 and verse 11 did. They received with all readiness the word that was being spoken unto them. And James says that it needs to be with meekness that we need to receive the word. Also, what we read here in this conversion is that Philip, he had an open mouth. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. So we see then that it is God's will that the gospel be preached. That's what Jesus commissioned to be done in Matthew 28, when he said in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So it's important. And as in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, in Mark 16 and verse 15. So we see then that the gospel must be preached. For as we said a moment ago in Romans 1 and verse 16, it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. And we know that this gospel is in earthen vessels, as Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. In all of the cases of conversion that we read about in the book of Acts, neither the angel that, say for instance, appeared to Cornelius in Acts 10, nor even Christ himself, who appeared to Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9, neither the angel nor Christ told those individuals what to do to be saved. Instead, the angel told Cornelius to go and send for Peter, and he shall tell you words whereby you shall be saved. Jesus told Saul of Tarsus to go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do. So see, the gospel is not going to be preached through some spiritual being, be it an angel, Christ, or anyone else. The gospel, the power of salvation, is in earthen vessels, that is, in human form, that as we go about like we're doing here right at this moment on this radio program, we're the earthen vessel, one of the many, that is trying to teach the gospel. And so we find that Jesus, as he says in verse 35, that Philip preached Jesus. That's what Philip did when he goes later in Acts 8, earlier in Acts 8, where we are here, to the city of Samaria. He preached unto them Jesus. And that's what Paul commanded that always needs to be preached in 1 Corinthians 2. But also the eunuch had an open mouth. Look at verse 36. As they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What did he do here in this verse 37? Well, he confessed his faith in Christ. That's what confession is, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But notice that the eunuch here doesn't make the confession that we hear so often being made today, and that is, I believe that God for Christ's sake has pardoned me of my sin. That's not what the eunuch said. But yet that's what we hear so many preachers talking about and other people in regards to what they did in order to become a Christian. But no, that's not what the eunuch said. The eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In fact, you can search your Bibles through and you won't find a single example of where anyone said, I believe that God, for Christ's sake, has pardoned me of my sin. It's just not there. But the eunuch confessed his faith in Christ. And the confession of faith with the mouth, we know from Romans 10, is essential. And then he was baptized in an open body of water. He desired and he requested baptism. Remember that in verse 36, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? So he was baptized, as verse 38 says. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Baptism is an immersion. They went down into the water. That would have not had to have been necessary if it would have been sprinkling or pouring. But to immerse, you must go down into the water in order to be buried, in order to be immersed, as we know baptism is taught as an immersion in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, as well as Colossians 2 and verse 12. And why is the eunuch doing this? Because it is a part of what Philip did when he preached unto him Jesus. Baptism is essential because that's what Jesus said in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter commanded the same thing in Acts 2 when the question was asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And we know from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 that we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. See, baptism is the way by which we put on Christ. Not been baptized, we've not put on Christ. Not been baptized, we're not in Christ. Because being in Christ and putting on Christ are all in association with baptism. So he was baptized in an open body of water. And then in verse 38, we find, he says that, so he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. Now when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. So the eunuch goes on his way. And he goes on his way rejoicing. But notice, this rejoicing, it was after the eunuch was baptized. Why is he rejoicing? He's rejoicing because of salvation. He's rejoicing now for the fact that he has been baptized into Christ. And now being in Christ, he is to benefit from all spiritual blessings. Because we find in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, that's where all spiritual blessings are. They are in Christ. Friends, God blesses you and me every day with life, health, strength, mobility, presence of mind, food, clothing, shelter. But spiritual blessings are only to those who are in Christ. And how do we get into Christ? Well, we hear his word, just like the eunuch did. We believe it. We believe it to the point that we're willing to make that confession with the mouth, that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That we're willing to turn from our sins, because that's what separates us from God. And we're willing to be buried with Christ in baptism. And being buried in Christ in baptism, we put on Christ. We are in Christ, where our sins are forgiven, where all spiritual blessings are. Have you truly been converted? Have you been converted like this eunuch that we have studied in the program today? We thank you for listening. We see your time is gone. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.